Escape is two books in one. The story follows Jason Wells, a college student gifted with an incredible knack for problem solving, as he follows the trail initiated by a piece of parchment found in his grandfather's garage. That trail leads to treasure, danger, adventure, and mysterious acquaintances. Jason finds himself repeatedly in situations where his skill for finding answers is his only hope. There is much more to the story than he knows. There is also much more to the book itself. Each chapter is filled with puzzles that the reader has the chance to solve. It is an escape room in print. At the end of each chapter are questions that can be answered from the details in the reading and hints to help the reader if they find themselves stuck. The book also includes a complete set of instructions at the end. Escape is an adventure, both for the main character and the reader. Get your digital copy of award-winning author James Rumpel's Escape at www.mythmart.com.
And now, enjoy this free JZO Modcast show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to My Public Life as an American Nerd. I'm Kevin, and joining me today, as usual, is Elijah. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just been playing a lot of games, watching some shows.
Yeah. No, I hear. Oh, yeah, we did watch an episode of a TV show. Actually, we'll talk about in a little bit. We've watched the first episode. And of course, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Christian Nicorda. What's going on, man?
How are you guys? I've played no games. I've watched no shows. No movies.
Just been busy, huh?
Just been busy.
I hear you, man. Yeah. I hear you. I've actually, speaking of games, I'm getting back finally, because you know how it is. Like, you'll start playing a game, for me at least, my brain works this way. Like, I'll start playing a game, and not because it's bad or anything at all. You just kind of like drift away. Like, it kind of gets pushed aside for some reason because, like, the bigger game comes out or something like that. Over the past week, I've been traveling a lot, and I've had my Switch with me, and I've been playing the newer Life is Strange game again, which is a game that I love. The Life is Strange series, I think it's an incredible series, very good storytelling, very good writing, and this is one of the series that I actually feel like, I know there are a lot of games out there that actually your choices do make a difference in the gameplay, but a lot of the times it's very minute, right? Like, it's like you might not even see a huge difference by the time you get to the end of the game. I love the Life is Strange series because literally every decision you make builds up to something completely different. So the outcome is truly affected by the choices, and that's what the whole game is. Like, there's not a lot of action involved. There's not a lot of, fighting or anything. It's not that kind of game. This one, True Colors, is it's really, really cool, really emotional. Like, there's a lot of emotion, and that's kind of the whole premise behind the game, is your character can actually read other characters' emotions, and you kind of base your decisions based on how you're reading their aura and stuff like that. Anyways, I've been getting into that again, and that game, it does, the Life is Strange games give me this weird thing because, like, a lot of the times you have to make these choices really fast. Like, it doesn't give you a lot of time to do it, and you get stressed out a little. But overall, it's actually a cool, like, kind of barometer on how you would respond in certain situations. And depending on that, you know, the outcome of the game comes out on that or whatever. But anyway, I'm having a lot of fun playing it again. I haven't played it. I got it when it first came out for the Switch, but I'm getting back into it, and it's really good. It's really gripping, really. It's just, I love the emotional aspect of it. It's like it's basically like you're playing a movie. I know that studio. Remember, I sent you that link, that studio that behind Life is Strange. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we live in an era where all these studios are coming under fire for overworking. And this one, they actually found, like, in the code of a lot of the games, like, hidden, like, Nazi stuff. Like, it's crazy. You would think, like, Life is Strange. Life is Strange the series in general is all about inclusion and diversity and all this really great stuff. But yeah, it was just really bizarre, really strange to hear. I don't think anything really came out. There was this big report. I think it was on Variety or something. They were talking about it. I haven't heard anything about it since. So I don't know, like, the, you know, validity of all of it. But yeah, interesting. Anyways, the game's actually really, really good. Highly, highly recommend checking out the Life is Strange games if you want real, like, story-driven games where your choices truly do make an outcome in how the story ends up, which is really, really cool. Yeah, so basically, thank you all for joining us. Thank you all for checking out the show. As usual, please like, subscribe, share. Sharing is the best way to get the word out about this show. On today's show, we're going to be talking just some basic movie news this weekend. The Fall Guy opened in theaters this weekend. We're going to talk about its performance at the box office and why we think it performed the way it did. We're going to talk about a new couple new trailers dropped. We're going to talk about those. And then me and Eli had the opportunity, well, not opportunity because it's not a big deal, but we watched, we watched The Phantom Menace in theaters again last night, because today, as we record, it's May the 5th, Revenge of the 5th, as they say. Yesterday was May the 4th, which is, of course, May the 4th be with you. So we decided to go check out The Phantom Menace in theaters. It's in theaters now. It's going to be out for a couple weeks for its 25th anniversary. It's so crazy that it's been 25 years. I still remember going to the original midnight showing, and not sure how much my mind was blown when after I walked out of it the first time. But that was a good time. So we'll talk a little bit about that, what it was like revisiting it in theaters. And Christian is going to catch us up with the Kendrick Lamar Drake drama. I'm very fascinated to hear about this. I know what's going on. I know what's happening, but I don't really know a lot about it. So we'll get into that a little bit. Yeah, talk about that a little bit later. So like I had mentioned at the top of the show, I have been doing a lot of traveling. As y'all know, I went to Chicago for C2E2. Last weekend, which was an absolute blast, and I'd absolutely recommend everyone go to it if you get the opportunity. Also, go to pastramination.com to get all of my article on it. There's also a really cool walkthrough video I did of the con, so I just basically walked around the whole thing, recorded it all, and put it on YouTube. So I, you know, fast forwarded a lot, you know, made it go a little bit faster at some points that didn't really need to be there. But yeah, go check that out. All that stuff with Pastrami Nation. And earlier this week or midweek on Tuesday, I flew to Dallas, Texas. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because my public life as an American nerd is kind of a good, it's a therapy session for all of us. We like to come on. Mental health is a huge, huge thing. First of all, always take care of yourself. But also, unfortunately, the sad part is death is a part of life. And I'm just going to jump right into that because it is, right? Like, it happens to everybody or, you know, someone you know.
It's like Thanos. Inevitable.
It's inevitable. Right. Exactly. It's inevitable. And I think people try to kind of hide their feelings and hide how they really feel about things like that happening, which is understandable. It's a very personal thing, right? It's not something that everyone likes to talk about. I have worked in the industry of death. I have read a lot of books on it. I'm oddly fascinated with it. Not just what happens to our bodies after we pass away, but also what happens after. There's just something we'll never know until it happens to us. But unfortunately, my uncle passed away about a week and a half ago. He was such a big influence or such a big part of my life growing up. We would go to his house during the summer in Texas. He would take me and my sister. I wouldn't say that we necessarily had a horrible childhood, but we had tumultuous. Is that the right word? You guys know what I'm trying to say.
Tumultuous.
Yeah. Tumultuous. Okay. Yes. Childhood. So things weren't always perfect, but him and my aunt really stepped up and they really helped us out. My uncle would take us to his house in Texas for a couple weeks in the summer. And my aunt would take us for like winter break, spring break, things like that. She lived in California. I can't remember the exact location right now. But anyways, it was always fun to go over there, hang out with my cousins, and do our summer thing. We'd go watch movies, we'd go swimming, night. That was the first time I ever really went night swimming, and like it was really cool in the middle of Texas in the middle of summer. Like you go night swimming and you a lot of the food was amazing. We always got barbecue. My uncle was a big foodie. Like he whenever he'd come to visit us in LA at my grandma's house, we were always eating something. There's this place called Mario's in LA, best burritos you'll ever eat. And it was because of him that we learned about that place. And he loved food. He loved bringing family together. His name was Mark Mata. He was a badass. Like he was a complete badass. The more I learn about his life, the more I'm like, damn, like you did all this stuff. He was a pilot for American Airlines. He was in the Marines. He flew fighter jets in the Marines, which is really cool. He was the real life Top Gun. He taught fighter jets how to be fighter pilots, how to be fighter pilots, which is insane to me. Like it's crazy. But anyways, I really think it's important to talk about it and be open about it, and let other people know that like, hey, you're not alone. When I went to Dallas to be with my family, it was really, really, it was very obviously somber occasion, but it was also one of the most like fulfilling and it was more of a celebration of his life and his he got all of us together again, and that's exactly what he would have wanted. So I just, want everyone to know, like, you're not alone. If you're going through rough times or whatever, there's always a way out on the other side. And it's hard, it's difficult. And my heart, obviously goes out to his kids, my cousins. It was really nice seeing them, really nice being able to reconnect and letting them know that even though we've grown apart over the years, that I'm always there for them, and we're always there for them. And that's another reason I wanted to bring this up. Always make sure that because he had plans to go travel the world. He was going to go visit my sister in Florida this summer. It's you never know when kind of these things are going to happen. So make sure you let the people you love, let them know that, and talk to them, and talk to people. Don't be afraid to reach out and just see how your cousins or whatever are doing. Don't be a stranger, because you never know when things like this are going to happen. So take care of yourselves, take care of each other, be open to talking to people if you have to talk about things, because it's not easy. But there is a way through and there is a path forward. So I just wanted to bring that up, like I said, because I think it's super, super important. So anyways, now that that's I know it's kind of a bummer way to start the show, but I think it's important to talk about.
I mean, can I expand a
Please.
little bit on? So I think we've all dealt with death
Yeah.
throughout our lives in different ways, and I think to what capacity that is to whatever. If you're listening to this, I'm sure if it's family, if it's friends, if it's pets, it's all none of it's easy. I don't think it ever gets easier dealing with it. I don't think like the more deaths you deal with, it becomes easier to deal with.
Right.
Because it's always different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Circumstances are different, people are different. Hopefully, there's always a silver lining with things like this that can bring people together. But, sometimes that's difficult when the circumstances of the death isn't exactly,
It is very
sometimes
difficult.
when a loved one reaches the end of their life, you know what I mean? Like, even if it doesn't always feel fair, if we can look back and see that they lived a full life, then there's some kind of satisfaction for us. But it's difficult when that life becomes cut short. You know what I mean? Or sometimes when you feel like that, even if that person has had a fulfilled life, if that was your only person, that becomes really difficult for the people that
It
are
is.
left.
No, absolutely. 100%.
So, like, my heart goes out to all of you. I have friends, like, I won't say any names, but like close friends who recently lost their family, right? And like, don't feel like they have anybody anymore. Like, you know, I think for a lot of us, even if we don't have a close relationship with our families anymore, at least we know that there's that parachute always that I can kind of fall back, or at least like if I really, really need somebody, I can reach out to them. And to not have that anymore, you know what I mean, after a death is hard. So just like what Kevin said, you know, even if you feel like you have this restrained relationship, if these people are important to your life, I don't want to say family because it could be friends. It could
no,
be
anybody. Family. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. If there are people that are important to you that you haven't reached out to and you've been meaning to, just do it. Just do it. Right. And I need to take my own advice. Because if you're listening to this and you know me personally, like, you're probably thinking of a very specific person I need to reach out to. So anyway, love to everybody. Yeah.
True, absolutely, 100%. I also need to bring up, I think he started my Disney obsession as well, Disneyland specifically, because we go to Disneyland all the time. I remember being there for the opening weekend of him. It was him. He took me and my cousins to the opening weekend of, I think it was Indiana Jones. We got to go on it twice that night because we went on the last ride of the night and like the line was like non-existent afterwards. They're like, you want to ride again? We were like, heck yeah, let's do it. Splash Mountain was the same way. I have a lot of memories too of Texas. I saw The Rock in Texas when it first came out. I remember he had to go watch it first to make sure it was appropriate for us to watch.
That's a responsible uncle.
Yeah, and he did. But yeah, he ended up dropping us. He watched it the night before. He ended up dropping us off, us kids. Well, I wouldn't say kids. We were like teenagers at the time. So, you know, to go watch it. But I love that movie.
Because my uncle took me to movies and did not check beforehand. And that was something I remember forever. That's another a really great way. If you're dealing with loss, I think a good way for those people that we love so much to just to live forever is for them to live through us. You know, I think
exactly.
I've lost a lot of people that meant a lot to me, and you know, that's going to continue. But I like to think that the best parts of them live on through me. Like I try to like, like, you know, live up to those things that I love so much about them. You know what I mean? If these are the things that I cherish so much, then let that be the thing that continues on through us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, you know, it's also part of the reason why I wanted to talk about it on here. You know, I want to make sure that his, you know, legacy and name gets out there and just like doesn't, you know, obviously he's going to live through us forever. But yeah.
Live on the internet forever as well.
Live on the internet forever as well. If any of my family is listening, you know, I love you. And yeah, it was nice to see you. And then don't hesitate, you know, don't be a stranger. Let's not be strangers anymore. All right, let's get into some movie news. There's no segue to take there, so we're just going to get into happier things now. So it's been officially announced this past week that Giancarlo Esposito has joined the MCU. We don't know what character he's playing. We don't know what it could be. He has stated that it's not Professor Xavier. But that can also be
mislead.
The MCU is notorious for that. Think Andrew Garfield in No Way Home specifically, and Tobey Maguire. Josh Brolin did an interview a couple days ago where he was talking about how he's not in the new, like he said that Marvel never even reached out to him to talk about it. So who knows what's going to happen with Deadpool and Wolverine. But anyways, Giancarlo Esposito joining the MCU. What do you guys think? Are you guys excited about it? What do you guys have any ideas of who he could be playing? It's supposed to be a pivotal character. Obviously, you don't put him in the MCU and not have him play something a little bit more important. But what do you guys think?
First of all, really quickly, I think the whole thing with Josh Brolin not being in the new Deadpool movie. So I think Sean Levy, that's his name, right? The director?
Yeah.
He talked about it. So this is not Deadpool 3. Like, that's the big distinction that he's making.
Deadpool
like,
and Wolverine, yeah.
So basically, like, Batman v Superman was not, like, a sequel to Superman. Or Man of Steel. It's not Man of Steel 2. So I don't think we have to worry about, like... continuation or, like, stories or characters that are not appearing in this. I wouldn't be too concerned with that. I love Juan Carlos Esposito. I'm hoping he plays a hero. I think I love him, but like, God dang, I think he's tired of playing villains. So I'd like to see him play some kind of cool. I don't know. There's a bajillion people in the MCU that he could play. I'd be down with him being a Professor X. I'm kind of totally fine with that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be. It might end up being like just like, you know, what we have Martin Freeman playing as like Everett Ross. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, still a major character, but not like a, you know what I mean? Right. A named superhero or villain or something. But I don't know. Could be. He's an amazing actor. So why wouldn't they?
You know? No, absolutely. Absolutely. I have heard some like fan casting a while back of him as Professor Xavier and Denzel Washington as Magneto, and like do a whole like, you know, like a civil rights movement thing as opposed to like the Holocaust thing or whatever.
Yeah. Which
might have been interesting. Might be an interesting, obviously fan casting, who knows? It's not a real thing. So don't freak out, everyone. So what do you think?
I know that you're just saying how he might be sick of playing villains, but he's never played one like Doctor Doom.
I'm Doctor Doom. I think he would be pretty badass as Doctor Doom. Interesting choice as Doctor Doom for sure, if he was going to do that.
I like that too. I feel like his pick as Doctor Doom is also is like picking Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Is like, yeah, obviously that's going to be good. Like that's like a no brainer. That would work. I think like right now, also with everything that's going on with Phase Four, with that went on with Phase Four and what they're trying to do moving forward, I know like the fact that Pedro Pascal is their pick for Reed, you know, like they're going safe. They're knowing like, okay, we got to win our fans back. Let's pick somebody that we know is generally universally loved. So they're picking, you know, him. I'm glad. I don't know. I'm happy with this casting. So I with all of that, with Juan Carlos, I don't know. I'd be actually happy with Doom. I would prefer him to be Doom actually. And exactly after, like I said, I'm sure he's tired of playing villains, but damn, that's too good.
It's great. It's great. Speaking of the MCU, I actually just started this, the MCU book, The Reign of Marvel Studios. Fascinating so far, just super interesting. The book's by Dave Gonzalez, Gavin Edwards, and Joanna Robinson. If you guys haven't checked it out, highly, highly recommend. The backstory of just Marvel in general, just getting the studio put together is fascinating. And Kevin Feige's backstory is super fascinating. Super interesting guy. And this book isn't an official book. They even bring it up up front. They're like, look, like, we were fine talking to all of these, interviewing all these people. We were interviewing important people, set people, Kevin Feige, all these people. But then I guess Disney put a cease and desist, or, you know, told basically no one to talk to them anymore after a while. But the book is an in-depth look at the MCU, how it came to be, how it came to basically rule the cinematic landscape for as long as it did. So yeah, highly recommend checking that out. It's pretty good so far. A few chapters in and I'm already kind of blown away by it. And
also, Christian, if Marvel wanted to take back, like not take back, but like bring people back, they aren't just going to need fan favorite actors. They're also, because if they still get people into their movies, but their movies are still bad, even though they have great actors, then maybe we just need, like, I know it'll be hard with the writer strikes that finished last year, but maybe more better, right? Like not better, but like more fleshed out writing and maybe like more time in the workshop instead of just pumping out movies left and right.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Yeah, yep. That's the only thing they can do right now, obviously. I mean, obviously, I think Deadpool and Wolverine is kind of that. I think that's going to be their, you know, because they only have that one coming out this year. So I think it's going to be kind of a reset and able to breathe a little bit and figure out what their slate's going to be going forward, you know. Let's talk about the, you know, box office in general. The MCU has kind of dwindled in that department a little bit, but let's talk about The Fall Guy. The Fall Guy came out this weekend, and it's estimated to do a $28 million this weekend on 100. I believe the budget was 100, and it's between 130 and 150 million. In Hollywood terms,
that's horrible.
A flop. Yeah, it's a flop so far. I think, man, I don't know how I feel about this, because for some reason I thought going into it, I felt like it was a big deal. I felt like people
Can I be honest?
Yeah, please.
I have Ryan Gosling fatigue.
Do you? Okay.
I think that's what it is. I think I've just seen too much of him. I don't care. I mean, I've heard really good things about this movie. Generally, this movie is like right up my alley. This is the kind of thing that would pull me to. Like, yeah, I don't care. Well, yeah. I just nothing. Like, did you guys see it this weekend?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. Well,
no.
I love Emily Blunt. I generally love Ryan Gosling, Aaron Taylor Johnson. What's his name from? Oh my
He's
god,
in this too.
M'Baku's in it.
Yeah.
What's his name? I forgot. Winston. I love him
Winston,
too. So
Winston Duke. Yeah.
Winston Duke. Yeah, it's like a great cast. I don't care. I don't know what it is. There's just nothing about that movie that's just like, oh, cool. Not even a little bit. I don't know. I'm also just not. I haven't gone to the movies in a little while, so there's nothing really that's like enticing me yet. That's brought me back.
And I do think I think that's a big part of it. I do think that a lot of it is to just people not having faith in these kind of movies anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people have been burnt so many times by these big action spectacle movies that they're just not even bothering anymore in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? Specifically, you know, with like superhero movies and stuff like that, these big action blockbusters. I know this isn't a superhero movie at all,
but it's still a big blockbuster, like it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I do, you know, if I had time to watch it this weekend, we totally would have. But I did work yesterday, so, and we spent our time watching The Phantom Menace and stuff yesterday. It's May the 4th. You had to. We went to go watch a 25-year-old movie in theaters that we could have watched for free on Disney Plus.
I get it.
Another reason people are talking about is Challengers is still in theaters, and Challengers is actually picking up a lot of steam from its you know, the good reviews, word of mouth and everything. People are going, Challengers is actually doing pretty well at the box office.
I feel like Challengers is another sign of like last year we had a kind of influx of raunch coms, right? Like raunch comedies that we haven't had in a long time. And then like Challengers is kind of returned to like that sexy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like drama, thriller.
Drama, type. Like, yeah, the sexy thriller kind of romantic thriller kind. Which also we have had a drought of in Hollywood. So I just hope with all of these things that Hollywood takes the right message from it. And it's like, it's just that thing of like, oh, the Zack Snyder movie looks good. Make desaturate everything and make it dark and make everything in slow motion. It's like, stop taking the wrong, like, why? Oh, it's rated R. Just make everything rated R. It's like, oh, it's sexy. Let's put naked sex scenes in everything.
Right.
Like, that's not why, you know what I mean? Like, it's just giving like good content on top of all of that. So I don't know. I feel like the signs are there. This is another extension of like Barbie doing so well. And like, Oppenheimer doing all of these other movies that nobody expected to do so well last year. This is, I think, an extension of that. And again with Fall Guy doing so poorly, this was supposed to be like one of the early blockbusters of the movie, failing like Fast X failed like all the other things failed last year. It's again, it's all happening all over again.
So. True.
Can I say something that you guys might disagree with?
No,
it's on topic. Yes,
it is.
I'm just kidding.
I want more movies that are like The Kingsman.
Like, well, how do you mean?
Like, not exactly like action thriller, but like spies. I want more.
Oh, like spy movies. Yeah, no,
yeah,
that's
awesome. I agree.
Yeah, and especially if you do something like, I remember when Kingsman came out, it was still pretty unique the way they did it. Like, you had the James Bond, you had the Bourne Identities, you had all that stuff. But the way Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, it's getting Matthew Vaughn doing a James Bond movie.
Yeah, so right. Awesome. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was so really cool. So, no, I agree with that. I mean, I think that's what we need. Original. I mean, it's based on a comic. I get that. But like a more original seeming.
Also, can we just get more Matthew Vaughns and more, Edgar Wrights out there?
Some Did you watch Argyle? Directors.
I have not seen Argyle.
I've not seen it either, actually.
No. I heard, I love Henry Cavill. See, it's the same thing. It was like, it's all the right formula. And for some reason, I was like, meh.
Yeah. Meh.
Meh. Yeah, no, I agree. So. It's on Apple TV Plus now, so I need to check that out. It is on there, so we'll check that out. Another thing I wanted to bring up, because I don't know, this is according to The Wrap. The Wrap came out with a lengthy article, basically talking about the new movie Red One, which is a Christmas movie starring...
Oh, yes! Can we please talk about this?
Starring The Rock Johnson and Chris Evans. So a new report has come out, according to insiders, the movie like is super, super over budget. I think it's over at like almost $350 million.
I need my hate skull.
Yeah, exactly. And most of it is supposedly due to The Rock's
Jacob
behavior.
Jacob, protect me.
Is supposed, no one can see that.
I know that.
is apparently due to Dwayne Johnson's behavior, showing up late on set 6 to 7 hours on some days.
He does that to every set, supposedly.
We're gonna talk about it
yep.
real quick. Supposedly, this is an Amazon film. There's a lot of inexperience going on behind the scenes when it comes to the producing aspect and stuff as well. And then there's a whole thing about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm just going to call him Dwayne Johnson. I'm sorry. Dwayne Johnson peeing in bottles to save time and making his assistants get rid of it.
You know, like a 14-year-old playing WoW or something.
Yeah, like a child does. So, yeah. Listen, I know I come off sometimes as somebody who's trying to... demean The Rock every chance that I get. Someone who just despises the guy, and I'm sure he's a great person in real life. But this, honestly, if I'm going to say it, this report didn't surprise me at all. It kind of seems par for the course for someone like him, who's all ego. Someone who doesn't... I understand...
This is Kevin's diss track to The Rock right now.
Oh, it is. Listen, The Rock, Dwayne. I appreciate you. Please don't come find me. You probably won't ever hear this, but that's okay. I hope you don't. I think it was honestly Black Adam was the turn for me, for him. It was all ego over substance. That movie was all about his ego. It had nothing to do with the comic. It had nothing to do with the character at all. He didn't care about the character. He just wanted a superhero franchise that he can call his own and he can show off his muscles and do his thing. And that's all it was. And I saw through that a lot. I feel like a good percentage of us saw through that and we realized what it was.
It was a vanity.
It was a vanity project. Yeah. And, there's a population out there who didn't see through that and were just like they're worshiping the guy for some reason. I don't know. It's just it's a frustrating thing when you have someone like that who is people can see right through them and see what they're all about, but then you have a big part of the population who are kind of groveling at their feet for some reason. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not bringing politics, but certain politicians have their following as well. And certain smart people see through right through their stuff.
Can we just say, did you see that whole thing? Let's not get into detail, but there were people that were walking around with posters and t-shirts that say real men wear diapers. Now?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, bro. What is happening now? What kind of Black Mirror episode are we living in?
It's insane. That whole it's a circus right now.
It's ridiculous.
It's even worse than last time. But what do you think about this report, guys? Christian, we'll start with you. Does it surprise you at all reading it?
It does surprise me. It just surprises me hugely. Oh my God, bigly. I'm just kidding, but no, it's very surprising because you know those reports of him pissing in bottles, I'm like, oh, he's all about, you would expect a guy like him to be like of a timely manner, right?
Yeah.
Time is money. So here are these reports that he has a history of being up to like 8 hours late to a shoot. Like when you calculate on a regular shoot, like a minute of time is like $6. Right. A second of time on a regular average shoot is $6 a second. So when the whole set is waiting for 8 hours,
Yeah.
Right? Like that's thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. It's just down the toilet. Mm-hmm. Right? Nobody can do anything about.
He doesn't care.
Right. No, he doesn't care. So I always cite this show, John Campia. So if you guys watch John Campia on YouTube,
oh, yeah.
He has friends on the inside, and he mentioned that he contacted one of his like higher up friends in Hollywood, and he was like, "Hey, what's up with the story about Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Is this true?" And his friend just responded, "It's BS." And then he was like, "Oh, I thought so. Like, this sounded fake." He was like, "Yeah, see, it's BS." And then he talked to his friend later. He was like, "Yeah, it's total BS. The Rock is such a jerk. Like, he's cost the studio 50." He was like, "Oh, I thought you were saying that the story was BS. You're saying that his actions are BS." And he was like, "Yes, no." He's like on this last movie, he's inflated the budget to up to like $50 million more dollars, which makes sense. Like, the problem is, and the crazy thing is, and I think the endearing thing is that the one thing that hasn't changed is everybody still reports that he's like the nicest guy.
Yeah. Right?
And like, I think if you're going to be that freaking late all the time, you kind of got to be. You kind of gotta be, because, dude, how does not everybody like want to just kill you? Like, I don't know. In a professional setting, that's like the least is just be there on time, be early. You know what I mean? It's so disrespectful to be late, especially when you have that many people depending on you.
Yeah.
Like, it's 100%. So incredibly disrespectful. So, like, I don't know. My whole thing is like, if you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late, and if you're late, then you're fired. So, yeah. Like, that's always what it is. The only reason why he got away with this is because he's the freaking Rock. And I think the scales are tipping a little bit more, because I think his favorability has dropped since Black Adam. And I think there's a kink in his armor. And I think people have realized that gods can bleed.
You know where I take that back about the Black Adam thing. My whole kind of thing with him started with the whole Fast and Furious drama that was going on between him, Vin Diesel, and Jason Statham. This whole, like, this...
It was just a dick measuring contest the whole time.
Dick measuring contest, this very fragile masculinity kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
When, you know, there was these certain rules in the contracts, like, this person could only get hit this much. This person's not going to, like, get on their knees in front of this person. It's like, dude, you guys are just a bunch of freaking idiots. Like, are you that like insecure, like, that you have to...
If one person was still there, this would...
But then you have someone like happened. John Cena, who's out there like doing everything, and he doesn't give a crap.
The thing is, John came up from the same exact background as The Rock, so it's like he knew the importance of taking a fall, right? Like, you know, especially character building. Like, it was never... like, here was the thing I remember being a kid, when we were in the like 80s and 90s, there was like Stallone, Arnold, Bruce Willis, Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal's movies were the worst because he never got beat. He never took a hit. He never took body like damage. The
end of Die Hard is like, he's John McClane is like,
I can't believe he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, he barely survived.
Out of the tower?
No, that was Hans.
Nah.
Well, he did like a cool like maneuver where he like did the whole thing, but anyways, but yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Right, but that's like when your protagonist is not, it's not an upward hill, then like, what is the point of the journey? Like, if he's outpowered, if he overpowers your villain, then he just looks like an asshole. He just looks like a bully. Do you know what I mean? Like, then what's the point of your hero needs to be like destroyed by the end of your story, I think.
And that's the thing. I mean, Rocky lost his first...
Yeah.
Rocky's lost more than he's won, I think.
Right, because his battle wasn't the actual ring, right? No, the battle was... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's like what was so beautiful about that.
But like, yeah, it's like, we need these... There's nothing wrong with being vulnerable and taking a hit and doing your thing. Like, it's all right. Like,
it's...
No, go ahead.
It's the whole, I mean, it's the definite, like, the whole line that kind of defined the Batman Begins. Like, why do we fall, Master Bruce? So we can learn to pick ourselves up.
Exactly.
Like, that's how, like, you know, you define yourself as a man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all fall. It's how we get back up from that.
Yeah,
you know?
Everybody.
And if you never allow that hero to fall, then we never get to see how that hero defines himself.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, sorry, I'm like getting too deep into...
No, that's completely...
Joseph Campbell's hero's journey.
Well, yeah, Campbell's the man, so it makes sense. So yeah, I just think I think it's completely, like you said, unprofessional, just rude, just That's just being a dick. Like, we can't show up 8 hours to work and still expect to have a job. That would not fly at all. And no one's above it. And if you sign on to do something like this, like, it's a team effort. Everyone's got to be on the same page or else it doesn't work. And that's
because being late like that is being disrespectful to everybody else on the team, because their time is not worth as much as your time, because you're making everybody wait. That's super disrespectful. Yeah.
It's BS. You have anything to add, Eli?
Not really. It is BS. Especially what Christian was saying, if you are going to be that late, then the least you can do is be nice.
Yeah.
But as he was also saying, time is money.
I mean, especially in Hollywood when you're making a movie. Crazy.
You can only apologize so much.
People don't have infinite pockets that they can just keep reaching into.
Those people do.
All right. One thing I actually do want to talk about, one trailer real quick. I don't know if you guys had the chance to watch it, but we got our first official look at the Mufasa trailer, The Lion King, the prequel to the live action Lion King. This one's directed by Barry Jenkins, who's actually coming under fire himself because he's a really classy director. Like, he's done some really good things. I think he did he do The Help? I think he did The Help, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see what movie. I had this up. I can't remember. But he's, you know, known for doing, you know, some really, really great, like, Oscar. He did Moonlight. He did Moonlight. If Bill Street Could Talk, The Underground Railroad. He's done some really, really great stuff. But he's doing Mufasa, The Lion King, which I'm watching the trailer and I'm like, wait, it's Simba's story. Like, it's the same. It feels like the same thing that we've seen already. I don't know why it needs to exist. I am completely blown away by Disney. They just don't care at this point. So they're doing whatever they can. And I have, honestly, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I have zero interest in seeing this.
They're acting like the Joker in that one scene, just burning money.
That's pretty much what it is. You know, the whole story revolves around Rafiki telling Simba and Nala's kids about the story of their grandfather, Mufasa. Blue Ivy has been cast as the...
oh, my God.
Beyonce's back. Our favorite here. We love Beyonce. Cowboy Carter is amazing. But
I do love you, Beyonce. Stop acting, though.
Just, yes, exactly.
I'm sorry. Either that or get a better acting coach. I love
100%.
You. I love you. You're a queen. But you were terrible.
Absolutely.
Lion King.
Absolutely. But yeah, I have zero excitement for this. What about you guys? You guys check out the trailer at all? You could just respond real quick if you want with a I don't care or anything like that. I
fell asleep in the movie theater when watching that trailer.
Did that trailer come on in the theater?
I think it was one of the two times you went to the bathroom.
One of the two times? I only went to the bathroom once during the trailers. Okay. I'm 44.
I was saying in total.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I did not watch the trailer at full attention. I wasn't paying attention to it. Theoretically, I am actually more into this than the first one. Just because I wasn't into the first one because it was unnecessary. You're making a classic masterpiece. In a weird way, like a weird direction to take it. This isn't based on anything, so I like, who cares? Let's check it out now. I'm like, it's just fun CG. But like, by you telling me it just looks like Simba's story again, then yeah, what is the point? Like, and then to have such an acclaimed director like doing this, like, whoa.
Yeah, he's getting he's being called, he's actually responded to the criticisms of being called a sellout or whatever because
This definitely reeks of like the tail end of like whatever Chapek orders were.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? And it was just like they were already in production, probably didn't want to pull too much. They've invested too much. So
absolutely. So before we get into some Kendrick Lamar and Drake talk, let's talk about episode one. We got to watch it again in theaters. What was that experience like for you? It was your first time watching it in theaters, Eli? Again, I remember watching it when it came out. Midnight showing, there's that excitement for it. There's, I remember when that 20th Century Fox logo came up, people freaked out. But then the Lucasfilm logo came up, people freaked out even more. Thunderous applause. And then the movie started and everyone was freaking out. This time we didn't obviously get that hyped. There wasn't that much hype behind it. But what was it like for you watching this in theaters for the first time?
It was very fun being able to see, like, like have more of an audience, like more people to watch it with, because sitting at home watching it on a couch is not the same thing as
No, it's not.
sitting in a chair in a theater full of people watching it.
Yeah.
And I would have killed to gone back in time to see it in a midnight showing for the first time.
Yeah.
Like hearing everybody's reaction to the double-bladed lightsaber for the first
Oh, the
time.
Duel of the Fates scene still like gives me chills when I watch it. Just hearing that
Still is
music start
amazing.
blazing, like watching it in the theater yesterday was actually, yeah, it was cool.
I love Maul's character through The Phantom Menace, The Clone Wars, Rebels, and even Solo a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had
Yeah.
that scene at the end. Yeah.
That pretty much came to nothing.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. So it was a fun time. I'm not gonna lie. I've made it pretty apparent. I'm not a big fan of the prequel trilogy as much, but I do think they're all fun. Like I think even the worst Star Wars movie is still fun, and I'll still watch it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I had a good time. It was actually pretty cool seeing it again in theaters. The pod race scene still hit really hard in theaters. Like it was just you hear the engines revving and stuff like that, and you get pretty pumped for that.
The only other thing that gets me pumped like that is like the early Fast and Furious street races, like the first three.
No, absolutely,
I
absolutely.
think Phantom Menace, I think objectively, is not the best of the prequels. I
No.
also don't think it's the worst. I think the
Right.
worst of the prequels is Attack of the
I swear
Clones.
to God.
And well, the worst. What do you want to say, Eli? What's so good about it?
I love it, okay? I love it because it sets up the Clone Wars, and I love the Clone Wars.
I love the Clone Wars too. I think that's why it's good. It's the Clone Wars, not episode two.
Yeah,
But that the Clone Wars saves that movie. That the Clone Wars isn't good because of that movie. So like that's why it's amazing.
the Clone Wars was able to run because Attack of the Clones happened, and it kind of tripped
It
over it.
also happened because Attack of the Clones couldn't do the job. So it's like we need to expand. Like that's also the reason. So I think it's a weak script. I think same thing with the Phantom Menace. There's no who's the main character of the Phantom Menace?
You bring up a good point.
There you go. So it's there are a lot of good ideas in this, and thank God for Dave Filoni for translating all of that for us. But
Love Filoni.
George is not the greatest at his storytelling. He's also not the greatest at dialogue. Probably should have
He's
got
not.
somebody to write the dialogue for him. But I still love the prequels. I still love the prequels.
Yeah.
The first movie is a lot of fun for all the reasons that Eli said. I also love that attack. I just now this is pod racing. I'm like, oh
See,
God.
that's so that was my so I was watching it again last night, and I realized that is what kills the movie. Like there's like you said, there's so much good, like there's good ideas in it, and it's not, I want to say it's a bad movie, but it's those like winks to the cameras
Almost.
and like some of the dialogue, that's what really kills it. I feel like if they took if they took out like a lot of the like, listen, I understand George Lucas is like, hey, this is for kids. Like we need to throw in some of these like winks to the camera and these jokes and stuff like that. But I do feel like a lot of it's out of place. And I feel like if they took a lot of that out, the movie might be like 10 times better, or not 10, like 10% better, right? And I think it's the dialogue, like now this is pod racing stuff and all that stuff. If you take a lot of that stuff out, it still has the same, the movie still works.
It still works
And
100%. There's
no, go
that
ahead.
huge edit cut. I don't know if you've seen it. There's that cut of the first movie where they take out like majority of all of Jar Jar's
What's the
stuff.
one that Topher Grace did? Didn't
Jar.
Topher Grace do a
So his is the order. It's an order to
Oh,
watch
okay.
the prequels. So his whole thing is like you start with something and then you go back to the prequels and you go
A
back
machete
to.
order, I think it was.
Yeah,
The
there's a machete order too that
yeah.
Topher Grace talked about. By the way, Topher Grace, shout out Topher Grace. We're not going to get into this, but he is a saint. Anyway,
I thought he did a full edit, though. I thought he did an edit of the, like it wasn't an official thing, but I
did he might have there he might have done like a master cut of like
Like literally like episodes one, six. Like I think he did like a master cut, like cut out a lot of the stuff and made it work.
Because even like the Duel of the Fates scene in the actual movie, it's like a lot of movies they'll cut in between like the subplots. So it's just a lot of like you get to see Darth Maul and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, but then it cuts to stupid Anakin and like him flying through stuff and then cut it through Jar Jar. So it's nice to like you can find on YouTube just the duel, like just cut the duel. Cuts all the other stuff out of it, and you get to see it just in all of its glory, which is beautiful.
If only we got Qui-Gon in Star Wars Battlefront 2. Because we got Kenobi, we got Maul, but we don't got Qui-Gon.
What are we talking about? Oh, is that a game?
Yeah.
I think I also, it's surprising how well it still kind of holds up when you watch it on the big screen. Like, I was actually really surprised at a lot of this. You can tell a lot of it was green screen.
Yeah.
But I think that's the other reason why I hate Attack of the Clones so much, because it's also the worst looking of the prequel movies. Like this looks significantly better than episode two and episode three.
It does. 100%. Like the scene with the towards the end where they're getting ready for the battle and you see the droids like kind of like wake up and stuff. Like it still looks like gorgeous. Like it still looks incredible. And seeing it on the big screen, you were like, damn, that looks good.
There are some shots in episode two that there you can't, I don't really care what compositing you do, unless you just reshoot it and add some like depth elements, they're so flat. And then there's like shots where like I don't know why George didn't want to put suits on people, so he just put everybody in like it was too soon. Like they weren't ready to do digital suits on people. So it's like General Kenobi. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, bro, what the hell's going on? Like your suit's like floaty and glowy. It's
so
weird.
So weird. Yeah. But yeah, it was fun though. Recommend checking it out again. It's out for a couple weeks, I think, for like a limited engagement. Also releasing in a couple weeks is The Crow for its 30th anniversary. I'm super, super excited for that. That's coming out May 29th and 30th. I think it's like a couple show times each night. We got our tickets for the 29th, which is a Wednesday night, which is gonna be out way past my bedtime. But I cannot miss The Crow in theaters. It's a classic, and it's a 4K restoration too. So very, very excited for that. What's up?
I want the Clone Wars special, like the Clone Wars movie, to come back out.
Probably will. 25th anniversary is coming up for that. So it'll be in a couple years, but
2032, I think.
For what?
2008.
Oh, for Attack of the Clones. Sorry.
No, not Attack of the Clones, the Clone Wars movie.
Sorry. I got.
I thought you were talking about episode two.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I do want to see that one, though, but. I'd rather see the animated one in theater.
Don't think that'll get released, but
I want it to be.
Yeah.
And just real quick, we just watched earlier today. We watched the first episode of Knuckles on Paramount Plus. Had fun with it. I thought it was really, really fun. Like I laughed a lot. Idris Elba's back as Knuckles. And it's just, if you like the movies, you'll like the show. It's just, it seems like a natural progression from the movies. Takes place right after Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Knuckles is trying to adapt to life in Emerald.
Green Hills.
It goes completely wild. Like there's no rhyme or reason to a lot of it. It just goes off the deep end really fast. And you're like, all right, like I'm along for this ride. If this is what the show's going to be, I'm on board. Like, it's crazy. It's wacky. It almost feels like live action Looney Tunes in a weird way. But like also with like Sonic and like the characters from Sonic the Hedgehog. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I know that I've heard a lot about episode 4, which is a musical episode that just goes completely off the rails. And I'm super, super excited for that.
Speaking of Sonic, I can't wait for later this year.
No, Sonic 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sonic 3 is coming out. Shadow. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is cast as Shadow the Hedgehog.
Another gun wielding. I don't really know how else to describe him other than gun wielding maniac.
No, it makes sense. So we'll see how that goes. But check out Knuckles. I think all the episodes are up now at Paramount Plus. So definitely check that out. So Christian, I need to know about Kendrick Lamar and Drake. What's going on?
Let's take a deep dive. Let's do this. So this has been going on for a little while. And let me also just back this up and give you guys a little bit of history. So the idea of like beefs in hip hop is not new, obviously.
Right.
Kevin and I, we've been around for a long time. I would say probably for people our age, the most famous hip hop beef ended in death.
Fucking Biggie.
Tupac and Biggie. People died. Yeah. So that was a real thing. And there's still kind of implications as to who was behind all of that. That's still kind of being unraveled now. And that kind of ties into a lot of the stuff that's going on today. But we've seen some other rivalries, famously also Jay-Z and Nas in the early 2000s and the late 90s. That was always fun because that's actually two like incredibly good people. It's crazy when you listen to the diss tracks, especially. I think Tupac probably has one of the most like crazy hit him up is like I can't even repeat the lyrics on this. It's so violent and so mean. And like, but it's just like just hating somebody. Diss tracks now have kind of become like really subliminal. So like now, more recently, like there's been diss tracks between like Future and Drake, and their stuff is like, oh, kind of a, if you don't know, you would never hear it. But if you really, really know, like, oh, I think that was a diss against Drake or something.
Like a jab.
Right. So like it's not as direct. So there's beefs with everybody. For whatever reason, Drake has a bunch of beefs with a lot of people. Now, let me just give you my background. I did grow up on hip hop. I love hip hop. I am older again. I am kind of in that like, oh, back in my day. But I'm also not like somebody who's ignoring what's going on today in hip hop. So I am a fan of hip hop. I am a Cole fan. I do love Kendrick Lamar. Not a Drake fan at all, really.
I'm not either.
I get his songs. His songs are fun, but it's like pop. It's not hip hop to me. You know what I mean? I think I'm not trying to be like a gatekeeper and stuff, but it's kind of the same reason why I don't like, what is her name? The name of that band, they did the opening song for Arcane. Imagine Dragons. Imagine Dragons and Drake are like the same to me. They're the genreless kind of like homogenization of just adopting identities instead of actually being authentic.
Imagine Dragons is Nickelback.
Thank you. I'm not a fan. I kind of love to hear somebody like Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar, by the way, if you don't know, Grammy Award winning, Pulitzer Prize winning.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Pulitzer Prize winning Kendrick Lamar.
He also signed on to do a movie with Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's coming out.
We talked about recently.
Yeah, I just had to bring that up.
Which is going to be huge. Who has never really beefed with anybody in hip hop. A few weeks ago, if not a couple, maybe like a month or two ago now, was on Metro Boomin's song. The whole Metro Boomin thing was supposed to be a diss against Drake because he has a beef with them. There's background behind that. But basically in that song, Kendrick dropped. He was like, you know what? Drake and J. Cole made the song called First Person Shooter. And in that song, Drake kind of threw some shade, subliminal shade at Kendrick. Kendrick responds in the Metro Boomin song was like, he's like, screw sneak dissing. I'll say it right to your face. He's like, you want to see how much of a problem I can be for you? And because everybody was like, oh, J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake are the big three. And Kendrick was like, screw the big three. It's just big me. Like, screw both of you guys. So, like, everybody's like, oh, what is happening right now? Because, like, everybody, like, behind the scenes, everybody assumed that everybody was cool, especially Kendrick and J. Cole. So like everybody's like, oh, crap. Now everybody has to respond. Couple weeks past, J. Cole responds and he releases an album called Might Delete Later. The last song, 7-Minute Workout, responds to it and he does a diss. But it's kind of like your first album was dope, but the second album was kind of boring. Listen, I like you and we're friends. So I don't want to have like, God, please don't make me have to do this to this man. So he didn't really do anything. But then that was his diss track. And then later that week in concert, he was like, I can't sit with this. This doesn't feel good on my soul. I haven't been able to sleep. I feel so corny. This is so dumb. So you know what? I bow out. I don't care. Whatever you guys want to say about me, I'm bowing out with my chin up. J. Cole or like Kendrick, if you want to take shots at me, I'll take it like a man. but I'm not with this anymore. He was like, you know, I know now why I've slept so well for the last 10 years, because I haven't been doing stuff like this.
Right.
And everybody dogged on him. Like, they're like, I respect it, because I get it. I get it.
You know, I respect
like,
it too.
Like, I want the peace. You know what I mean? And so J. Cole's just like, I don't want the smoke. So everybody's like, J. Cole, you just like, you know, this is hip hop. Like, you know what I mean? So I get where he's coming from. As a J. Cole fan, I am a little disappointed. So a couple of week, like maybe I think a week passes or 2 weeks pass, and Drake drops a response finally. And it's called, what does he drop first? Family Matters? Is that what he drops first? No, Push Ups. So in the movie Push Ups, he's like, one of the themes of it is drop and give me 50, drop and give me 50. So he's talking to Kendrick that he's like, oh, like 50% of your proceeds still go to your management. So it's like, you have a bad contract. And he was like, I don't know how anybody can look up to you when you wear a size 7 shoe, like making fun of Kendrick, 'cause he's 5'5".
Right.
And he's small. So he's just like, haha, you're short, blah, blah, blah. So that releases. And then on top of it, he's like, what's up, Kendrick? You're not going to respond. You're not going to respond. And then he releases another one. Drake releases two in a row. The other one's called TaylorMade. So TaylorMade also has like AI with like Tupac rapping dissing Kendrick too on it. And there was somebody else too. Somebody else that passed. Right. Super distasteful. Right. But you know, I guess people really liked it. So that happened. So not even that long after this, Kendrick drops Euphoria. And Euphoria is like, holy crap. It's like 6 minutes long of him. It's not even like, at some point he's like, look, this is about like love and hate. And I hate you. I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk. He's like, I hate the girls that pretend that they're women around you. And he's like, we hate this. And he's like, and remember that, I listen to the fact that I'm saying we, because it's not just me. And I'm saying we because I speak for the culture. And it's like, oh, and he's like questioning his blackness, and not because he's mixed race. It's but because how, you know, he's a Canadian kid who has a black father who was not around when he was a kid, was raised by his white mother in Canada, who now claims he's like a black thug from
Atlanta.
Right,
right, right.
You know what I mean? So he's like, you're using your blackness as a way to profit, but like, this is real for some people. So it's like, you know what I mean? You're a phony. Like, it's basically what he's calling him out for on top of everything, which is like.
Did you hear the leaks that song was supposedly going to be like 10 or so minutes longer than it was?
Right. So there's rumors that this song was 11 minutes long originally. The song is only like maybe like 4 minutes long. But here's the thing. He drops that, and then he drops Euphoria. So mm-hmm. Drake drops Family Matters right after. And in this, he starts accusing, like, now what, like, this is why this beef is so crazy. One, we've gotten so many songs out of this. With that big Tupac beef, we got like two songs. Like, right. We have like four or five songs each from them now in just 2 days. Like, they're just going back and forth with this. So, like, the crazy things, too. And, like, they're, like, first of all, and, like, not to, like, just jump to the end of this, but Kendrick is destroying Drake. Like, anybody who's paying attention right now, if Drake knows what – if Drake might as well just kind of retire at this point. I think that might be, like, if he's made so much money, he's made such an impact, maybe you're done. Maybe you're just done. And then somebody brought up the fact, too, that, like – it's crazy that Universal Music Group hasn't stepped in, because they just signed Drake for like $500 million in 2022. This is a huge investment on there. So if Kendrick destroys his career, this is huge. You know what I mean? Like, this is huge. Anyway, like, it's gotten down. Like, obviously, like, there's been allegations with all the Millie Bobby Brown stuff and Drake from a couple years ago, if you guys remember that, that Kendrick hasn't even talked about yet. So it's like, obviously he's got fuel, and like, okay, so I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Kendrick releases this song called Meet the Grams, right? And which is like, before this, he releases another song called 616 in LA, which is gorgeous and uses like an Al Green sample. But Meet the Grams, he starts the song saying, "Dear Adonis, your dad's a piece of shit, and I'm sorry that he's your father." So he starts the song by addressing Drake's son. And he's like, let me raise you, because I can like raise you like a real man. Look, dude, this is how to be a man. And I'm like, oh my God.
Another time.
Oh my God. And then he was like, "Dear Sandra, your son is, and he starts talking to Drake's mom. He was like, you've raised such a predator. And he preys on the women of our culture and the women, like all of this. And then he's like, dear Dennis, Drake's father, he was like, you've raised such a scam artist and an untrue person and blah, blah, blah. And then he reveals that Drake has an 11-year-old daughter that he's been hiding from the public.
I heard about that.
That's so crazy. Because so first of all, Adonis, his first son, was revealed during another beef that Drake had with another rapper that rapper revealed during that beef. So this is the second time that Drake has had a secret child revealed during like a beef, which is super crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. So like basically it's a lot of back and forth. And this is just, it's so personal. And it's so like Kendrick is diabolical. Like I think, first of all, if you know anything about hip-hop, this isn't unfair. You don't like having Drake and Kendrick go up against each other is like having,
it doesn't seem like, even from the outside perspective, like I know who those two are and I've paid attention to their careers.
It's like having me go up against The Rock.
If you have like I don't know, some caricature, not that caricature artists are bad, but if you have like a caricature artist from like Knott's Berry Farm go up against like Claude Monet, you know what I mean? It's like, they're still good, but this is a different kind of thing. You know what I mean? You have no chance. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if anything, for all we know, something probably released as we've been talking, which is crazy.
Question.
Yes.
I heard that. So I heard this through the gate that Jack Antonoff has been pulled into it somehow.
Yeah. One of the things that, like, because Kendrick is accusing of Drake of like, oh, dude, you're soft.
Ghostwriters?
Like, that wasn't even him who accused him of that. And that's, but he's basically like, Drake was called, like, oh, Kendrick, you say that I'm so soft, but you did songs with like Taylor Swift. You did songs with Maroon 5. I'm like, why don't you check it with Taylor Swift before you release your album? So what Kendrick did was I think what he did something with that producer. As a joke to Drake, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah. I should. Which is kind of funny.
It's funny.
But yeah, I don't know, man.
That's wild.
It's so wild. Like, I feel like Kendrick is kind of sitting and like, what can Drake do? Because like Kendrick is so boring. He doesn't do anything. He lives a really quiet life, so he doesn't have dirt. You know what I mean? Like, he just raises his kid and kind of does his thing. So
why can't we have movie director beefs like this, right? Where we get just like short films back and forth about like attacking the other one. That would be incredible.
Like Nolan versus Del Toro.
Competition. Yes. Like that's crazy.
I want one, just one in our lifetime.
That'd be fun. I wanted, let's go. Let's try to set this up. Okay. Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright, I heard that Matthew Vaughn was talking shit.
Oh, I heard that too.
You guys should make amazing movies.
That would be incredible. Oh, man, I want to see that. That's insane though. That's like
I feel like it'd be harder for movie directors to do it though. They live a lot peacefuler and
they generally get along with each other. That's crazy though. Do you think? So I know it's this beef, right? But it's like, is there any, and I know this is going to be a dumb question, but please just kind of
humor. I was guessing where you're going, but please continue.
Yeah. No, do you ever feel like any of this could be like just
WWE?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't think either one of them need it per se, but like, I mean, with the fact of him like revealing the children and, you know, getting the children revealed and stuff.
I would say before it got, but now there's like legal. Like, because Kendrick is straight up calling him a pedophile.
Right. Oh,
you know what I mean?
I did not know that.
That was also like a message from the title of Euphoria.
Okay. Probably not then.
Accusing him of crimes. And then he's accusing him of having people in OVO. So OVO is his company. He's accusing him of protecting sex offenders and other people. So there's a lot of allegations that that's why I'm like, I get that, like, oh, this is all kind of fun, but now it's like, and also we're running the risk of Drake just being done, and like that's crazy.
UMG's gonna hate that if that
exactly
he'll just do the Degrassi reunion. reboot. It's cool. He'll be fine.
It is a fun dive. You can find the order of it. Honestly, I did this yesterday. I met up with my friend Sana, and we sat down and we listened to all of them back and forth. It was so much fun. It's so much fun.
I'm gonna do it later.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's so crazy too. If you can even get the lyric sheet just so you can read along, and you'd be like, "Oh my god, Kendrick, you're evil." It's so good. It's great.
That's fantastic. I'll have to check that out. I'll definitely have to check that out. That'll be on my list.
Me and you are gonna have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There was something else I was gonna bring up really fast, but I cannot remember for the life of me what it is. So I guess it doesn't matter right now. Thank you for that, Christian. I am now feel like I'm up to date. I know what's going on with the Kendrick and Drake feud, which is getting pretty heated. So we'll see where that goes in the future. I'd love to do a weekly update, by the way. So we're going to start a weekly update. We're going to do
a continues, then the yes. Show.
If it continues, we will be talking about.
Well, let's be real. Do we really think that Drake's going to let that go without like saying something back to it?
No,
this is okay. Cause he's in a critical space. If he doesn't say something, cause there's legal allegations here or legal like accusations here. So he kind of has to address
major accusations.
Yeah. If he doesn't address it, that looks bad. And if he addresses it the wrong way, it's going to look bad. So let's see.
Interesting. That'll be,
so it could go like one of three ways. Like he doesn't address it and Kendrick just keeps going. Possibly he does address it, but he addresses it horribly. And then he just gives Kendrick more ammunition by accident. And
there, I mean, I don't think that we're going to see the 90s over again, but I also, we're not past it. We lost Nipsey Russell. We lost XXXTentacion. People, there are rumors that have
this music was great too.
Those things. So, you know what I mean? Like, let's just hope that other people that are listening to this aren't taking this into their own crazy hands. You know?
Right. Yeah. Don't. Please don't do that.
This is just it's a fun rap beef, man.
Yeah. Fun rap beef. Just let it be. Let it be exactly that. Yeah. We don't need any more blood in that area.
No.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you all for checking out the show. Thank you all for listening. We really, really appreciate it. I hope you all, by the time this comes out, Cinco de Mayo will be over. Hope you all were safe and happy and
had some good food.
Had some good Mexican food. That's another thing I had in Texas. Ooh. Barbecue. We went to a barbecue joint. Oh my gosh, it was true Texas barbecue. Incredible. Gosh, we had like, that's literally all we had, like this open buffet thing. And it wasn't even a buffet, it was just for like the party, and then we took some back to the hotel, and we had a bigger party there, so everyone brought out the light. It was incredible. So much fun. The food, oh my god, the food was incredible. And my family likes to drink too. They're a bunch of drinkers, so we got pretty toasted. I only had
you
one
did
drink. No, I only had one drink, but it was fun. But anyways, thank you all for checking out the show. Christian, where can they find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Christian Nacorda on Instagram or TikTok. Come draw with me.
Absolutely. You can find me on all those as well. You can find me at Kevin Hoskinson or Kevin _ Hoskinson at TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twix, wherever else you... I'm on LinkedIn, I guess, if you want to find me there. Go check it out. You can't find Eli anywhere because he's... still not legal.
Running managed democracy.
Yep, you can find them on Helldivers too. You can probably give out your handle. Do you know your handle?
It's the family handle, so no, I will not do that.
I don't know what it is either. I legitimately don't remember.
But I ain't gonna give it out.
Okay, I don't care. But anyways,
Mom might.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you all for checking out the show. We will see you guys next week with an all new episode. And as always, stay nerdy, America. Bye bye.